What's up, you guys? It's Janelle
and Chanel,
and this is our chat room. So let me ask you, have you ever used a man for money?
Yes, I have. I actually used a guy for money because I needed to fix my car.
So, hey, what's up, you guys? It's the chat room. You already know it's Janelle
and Chanel,
and we're back with another episode. Today, we're going to be talking about Why Did I Get Married, Men's Edition, and we have a really special guest today. And you guys, you got to hear it because he came through with it. Like, he was really good. So please stick around to hear what he had to say and his input on marriage. And yeah, so let's get right into the rundown.
Right. We're going to get right into the rundown. So as you guys know, our president is Donald Trump. Okay. And we have the elections coming up in 2020. Finally. Okay. And you know, my dog Bernie Sanders is running for 2020. I'm super excited. Hopefully I find out a little bit more people who are running. I don't really know who's running, but supposedly it's a lot of people. You heard about anyone else running?
I've heard, but I don't want to misspeak.
Yeah.
I've heard about a lot of different people that are running, but I don't really know their names. So I don't want to misspeak about it.
Okay, well, Bernie right now, it seems like he has a plan to pretty much create a foundation to put America in a different direction versus what Trump's idea is. As everyone knows, he is a great supporter of the Black community. So I think he would be a great president. As far as his age, I don't know how long he'll be able to last.
I'm just really concerned with getting Trump out of there. We just got to get Trump out, point blank. That's just that.
Right.
And please get out there and vote. Please vote. Register. Like, get out there. Because it's very important, and I feel like people don't see how important it is because they feel like, oh, my vote doesn't count. It's not going to matter. No, your vote does count. It's very important.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was going to say a big thing Bernie Sanders pointed out is with the candidates these days, you guys, please don't focus on the color of their skin. Like, I don't want to say, like, oh, if a Mexican or a Black person, like, oh, vote for them if that's what you are. It's not about color, and we should all know that. Like, these days in this generation, we're in a country where everyone is different. Everyone has different colors. Everyone is mixed. So just don't focus on the color of the person's skin. Really focus on what the person wants to do to the country, the laws they're trying to change, and the big impact in our individual lives, in our families' lives, and in the communities. I think it's very important that we stop thinking about how our president can help us individually. It's not about just us anymore. We're going to have families. We're going to have children. We're going to be grandparents. And these are laws we need to put in place for years to come, generations. So, yes.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. But let's get into
the
tea. Okay, so I already know you guys heard about this whole Khloe Kardashian, Jordan Woods, Tristan Thompson fiasco. Like, right. It's crazy right now. So, as you guys know, Tristan cheated on Khloe when she was pregnant. He was out in public cheating on her. It was a big mess. She took him back. And now, apparently, he has cheated on her with Kylie Jenner's best friend, Jordan Woods.
Like, how could you go that far? Like,
it has to be something behind this. Because it's like,
he's a cheater.
Why would you, you mess around with your best friend's sister's baby daddy? Yeah, like,
it seems like it's too much. It's like, are you really that type of person, or is this another publicity stunt? Like,
that's what I'm
thinking. I would respect it more if it's a publicity stunt, because I'm like, okay, this is what they do. But if this is really how you guys are getting down, like, that's crazy. And one thing I can say about Khloe is Tristan's baby mother was with his baby mother before Khloe.
Exactly. And she was pregnant with his child.
I followed her. Oh, yeah.
She was pregnant with his child before.
Had money. So she has her own money. And you cheated on this woman while she was pregnant with Khloe, which a lot of men seem to do with the Kardashians. They leave their girl and then go to Kardashian, think that they're going to just become, I guess, a Kardashian or something. And then when it happens to them, they want everybody to be all sympathetic. That's not right. Nobody has sympathy for, I was just about to say her name. I think it's Allison Jordan Instagram.
I think her name is Allison Jordan. Yes.
Yeah. And nobody had any sympathy for her. People were actually bashing her. Like, oh, you weren't even with him. He's not the real daddy. Everyone knew they were together because they posted all the time. And she had her own money. She didn't need him. So the fact that Chloe felt like she could steal this man and then it's not going to happen to her. And then she's like broadcasting this out like, you want sympathy, but you took a man from somebody else.
I agree.
And Jordan and it's over like here the taking same, tips.
The same way you got him is the same way you're going to lose him, yeah. Period. And that's, I don't know. The situation is just really crazy to me. And I feel like that was just dirt. If it is true, she's dirty for that. She's dirty for that.
I feel like she did it for something like, why would you choose him?
Right. You know? It's all these men out here and you choose someone that got somebody.
Yeah.
Especially your best friend's sister. Right. Someone who you're close with as well. Like
you're damn near family.
Right.
Like, for real. Like,
but
she's
you know
family.
What? That just goes to show you that these females out here, they're ruthless. They don't care. They taking everybody, man. They do not care, girl. So you didn't, if you got a man, please hold on to him because these girls out here, they just
and that's the thing. I be knowing too. I'm like, I don't care if you my best friend. We could be so close for years. If my man is attractive and if he, I mean, I don't want to say like he's a horn dog or something like that, because maybe that's what he is. You know what I mean? Then another woman is going to peep that.
Yeah.
And she going to go for it. Like, because there's women out here that do that. Like, just with the conversation that you guys will hear with our guests, you know, the devil be out there working. Like, just
yes,
ready.
The devil is really out here. So y'all got to be on the lookout. Y'all got to be careful. Because the devil is really out here, for real. But anyways, let's get right into our topic. Why did I get married? We have a guest on today. Derek, say what's up.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Okay, so we're going to jump right into it. So, Derek, let us know, why did you get married? And how long have you been married for?
All right, so I think the easier question is how long. It would be 3 years in August 14th. So we got married August 14th of 2016. And the reason I got married is because I'm a man of God. And I know that when dating, when two people are attracted to each other and they do believe that they are destined to be with each other, you go through the process and you get to a place of covenant. Something where you vow in front of God and in front of man, and you tell each other, I'm going to spend my life with you. As long as we, you know, adhere to those vows, as long as we take care of that covenant that God has entrusted us with. And that's why when you know, I became a Christian and I kind of put my head down and was rocking for God, when I looked up, I saw my future spouse, of course, you know, knowing that I needed to one day lead her to that altar.
Okay. Oh, that's beautiful. Really cute. Yes, I love that. That's really meaningful. And I feel like a lot of men should view marriage that way, mm-hmm. as far as wanting to do it for God and for wanting to do it for the right reasons.
Right. Absolutely. Definitely. So how did you and your spouse meet?
Okay. So, we met at church. So I had just gotten out of a terrible relationship. We won't name no names. And I started making my way into church. It was something that I was intrigued by, the way that the church was functioning. And I was part of a young adults ministry, something that kind of tailored to the age range that I was in. And as I said earlier, I had put my head down. I was grinding for God. I was making YouTube videos, I was making Instagram videos, and I was kind of just spreading the gospel that way. And I remember one of my friends inside of the young adult ministry at the time was like, hey, there's this girl that's actually doing exactly what you're doing. She's doing a little bit more motivation, but you know, she comes to church, she does believe in God. You guys should link up because I think you guys would actually complement each other if you guys like get on each other's channels. I was like, why not? Let's do that. And slowly but surely, as you know, like I said, my head was down and I was grinding. I started to see her, and I started to see that her ambition and her goals and her dreams were kind of just aligning. And the more and more that we got around each other, the more we saw that the visions lined up. And from then on out, it just, the rest was history, as most people would say.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. What is your current status in your marriage now?
Oh, good question. So as of right now, unfortunately for everybody, though I may sound like I am, I'm still an advocate. We are separated right now.
Okay.
Unfortunately, there was some infidelity that went on in the marriage, and it's definitely caused, of course, that ripple effect. You know, the enemy does what he does best. You know, God and the representation of marriage is probably to the world the best representation of God. And that's probably one of the most important things for the devil to destroy. And so we found ourselves in a place where ministry was going good, life was going good, but there was just something festering on the inside. And what wound up happening was we wound up just losing that battle. And, you know, when I chose to separate, it was so that I can kind of have my solitude with God so that I can get confirmation as to what to do next. I'm a man of God, and I believe that he writes your story. And it's not to kind of hide away from decision making, but if I allow him to make decisions over my life, I know that I'm doing it at the right way.
And, right. So know, do you feel like that situation has made you kind of lose faith in a way?
That's a really good question. So when it happened, I didn't lose faith in God. I lost faith in Christianity. And here's why. I became a believer very late in life, you know, 24 years old. I just had an encounter with Christ, and I was just like, man, this thing is real. And I walked into a church, and I was met with all these people that had been going to church, that had been attending. And I mean, my wife was no exception. You know, she had been in the game, I think 11, 12 years by the time I met her. And then the person that unfortunately she fell with, and that's kind of a Christian term we use, fell. The person that she fell with, he was born into Christianity, and he was someone that was a great leader in Christianity, had a ton of people looking after him. And it kind of made me lose faith in Christianity as a religion. And it kind of really made me lose faith in the Christian church and how they're really like equipping their people. Like there's a definite gap, because if this happened to two people that had been with Jesus, like that been in church for as long as they've been together combined, that means that something's going on in the church that's not being talked about, you know?
And I kind of feel like, just to touch on that a little bit, I kind of feel like that's why a lot of people stray away from the church, because something happens and they feel like, oh, I thought you guys are supposed to be Christians. You're into the church. So why did this happen? And that's when people start to question God and question, you know, Christianity.
Yeah. And, you know, just to speak on that for a minute or two, like I definitely was there, you know, I was in denial. You know, there's the seven stages of grief. I was in denial, and I was like, nah, this ain't really happening. And I had rented an Airbnb, took some time away just to be by myself. And I was listening to this worship song called Defender by Upper Room. I need to listen to it. It's fire. okay. And I'm listening to it. It's 11 minutes long, so be prepared. But I was halfway through it, and I get hit, you know, with the lyrics, you know, just saying, you are the defender of my heart. And I lost it. And I just broke down, and I was weeping, and I was crying. And I'm like, man, the goodness of God is still here. Like, I still feel him. But this is what's wrong with American Christianity. It's people going and stepping into churches and expecting only something from God and not giving back anything to God. Right. And I realized that when we say church hurt, when people walk away from the church or get offended by God, we're really supposed to be looking at people and knowing that people are always going to be flawed, and the devil is here. You know, I know that there's spiritual warfare going on every day, all day. I feel it. But we got to redirect our focus. It really is. You know?
Wow. So did this situation and the situation you're in now, did it make you feel like, do you still believe in love? Do you still believe in marriage?
Oh, absolutely. From the bottom of my heart. Love is something that that God has shown me much more of ever since this has happened. And I say a lot of reverence, so a lot of fear from God, too, as my king, because I know that he loves me even though this happened. And I sense that love, and I feel that love. And I love marriage, because marriage, even still through this trial, I know that when God brings me the right partner, in the future, of course, when God brings me that partner, then I'm going to be setting the world on fire with that person. Like, yeah, there's like no question about it, you know, because now I know, there were certain things, like I said, you know, when you reflect on life, and I ask everybody to do this, whether you believe in God or not, like reflect on your life. When you go through trials, when you go through issues, take a look back and go way, way, way back. And you'll start to see patterns about your life that kind of led you to where you got. Mm-hmm. And in our relationship, I looked back to the very beginning and I realized a couple things about what got us to the altar. And one of the things that I know that got us to the altar that wasn't from God was pushing. Like I pushed and I pushed. When I saw signs to wait, I pushed. When I should have held off on the engagement, I pushed. And there's, you know, there's something that we do in our faith, which is ask God for the confirmation, period. Like, right. we should do that. Yeah. I didn't. And I can say with confidence that my wife didn't either. Like, we fell in love, but we didn't ask God if that confirmation of love was from him. And so we kind of masked that and kind of just, when we pushed through it. And so I still believe in it all. I am so excited for it all because now I have a better understanding of what to look for and what not to look for and who to ask, most importantly.
Oh, wow. I was actually about to ask you that question. Like, what are some of the signs you think you ignored in the beginning? Or sure. Like, was there any signs like in the beginning of your dating and getting to know each other? Any things that you think you maybe ignored?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say the family dynamic was one. So I come from a very broken home. So what I always longed for was family. Like, so my wife's family was, you know, at the time, mother, father, sister, daughter, sister, brother. And I was just like, this is it. Like, this is what I want. And seeing them around the holiday times, well, I was still on the dating tip. So I didn't really see the whole family dynamic. You feel me? Like, I was like, man, like I've always wanted this. And because it was also the holidays, it was easier for our families to kind of blend, being from the same, you know, native background, things like that. And as soon as we started to get serious, I started to see that my wife had put so much trust in me with all of her guilt and all of the things that she was dealing with as a woman. But I realized that she never went to her family about that. And so something that I also always say to people is like, if you can't break a tie with your mother or your father, if you have stuff that you're dealing with that you don't talk to them about, like that's called bondage. And when you have bondage in your life, no matter how transparent you are with your spouse, that bondage is still there.
Yeah.
And so
I
saw that really sign. Oh, I saw that sign time and time again. And here's the thing. I wasn't man enough to just, I called it out and I said it needs to be done, but I wasn't man enough to say, if you don't do this, we're not moving forward.
That's right. You got to put your foot down.
I should have done that. So definitely the major thing was the family dynamic. Okay. Other signs, you know, of course, that are a little bit more specific to my faith, like it's how our faith gets exercised.
Right.
And I was seeing myself grow. And I wasn't seeing my spouse grow at the time. So those were, of course, you know, very, very specific signs too.
Okay. So what are some things you've learned from going forward?
That I wasn't a man, you know, and this is probably, you know, this is healing for me. All my life I had definitely bent over for women. And it dated all the way back to when I was 8 years old. And upon all this time with the Lord, I got to reflect and see, like, I was sexually abused when I was 8. And I carried that weight all the way through my life. And I didn't even realize that I was until this situation happened. And and it was because I was feeling this guilt and this shame. I was like, Lord, why am I feeling this way? Like, I have done nothing wrong. Why am I feeling guilt? And he said, let me take you back to when you was 8 years old and you was being touched and abused by an older girl. And every time you didn't want to do it, she would get you in trouble. So you were getting reprimanded by your father and your mother when you were a little boy. And now every time you think you're about to get a girl mad at you or in trouble, like, you bend over and you let that girl win. And then he showed me all throughout my life.
Wow. Where there was crazy. Like,
I'm telling you, like, reflection, so good. Then he showed me every situation in my life where I was like, yep, right there, I let a woman over. I chose a female over my boy. And he just kept laying it out on me. And so the thing that I learned, like, the most was, I got to be a man before I step into my next relationship.
Definitely.
Like, mm-hmm. And it's not like I need to be like abusive, stern, and rowdy. Like, no, I need to just be like, I'm a man of God. Right. And if you're going to come and co-align with me, it's because you're complimenting my calling and you're going to push me further than I thought I could go, because you love me. That much,
okay. You know? And that's because you're connected with God. I feel like you need that connection sometime to even get those signs of reflection and understanding what God wants for you, you know, not what you want for yourself. That's true. Where we make that mistake.
Yeah.
So yes, that was awesome.
So question back to the situation. Like, do you believe in forgiveness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. I can be honest with you. And I do feel like there's still pieces of me that haven't forgiven, but I verbally have forgiven both of them. And I did that because there has been so many moments in my life where God should have never forgiven me. And should have casted me out.
Right.
And I said, I said, there is no sin that is unforgivable under God's eyes, regardless of how much pain it does, like, to you. And something so powerful that someone said to me in like my time of covering is a Christianese word. It just meant like people were looking out for me.
We're going to get it.
Yeah. He said, you need to start looking at people the way God looks at them and not through your pain. And when he said that, I was a wreck. I mean, it took me probably a week to unpackage that statement. So when I heard that, I started to look at my wife the way God looks at her, even if I was already confirmed that I wasn't going to get back with her. And I had to look at this dude who has already tried to kind of exalt himself into leadership again at another church. Like, and there's things that are happening in the, like, behind the scenes that I know are so, like, just so foul, but I got to continue to look at them through forgiveness, because that's who my God was. Right. Now, he was a forgiver all the time.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Definitely. That's definitely powerful. Like, so what do you look for as far as your future? Like, what is making you keep going at this point?
Are you looking
for someone, or are you just kind of just in recovery mode?
Oh, no. I'm in recovery mode. Like, I am. I'm definitely not going to be looking for a long time. I mean, I've made this decision that it's going to take a very special and unique person to date me. And I say that because that not a lot of people are with me.
Right.
So there's a flight that I'm about to be catching that I'm going to have to drop a lot of people and leave them at TSA. And there's but only a couple people that are going to be able to catch that flight with me.
Right. And you can't take everybody with you.
Nah, I can't. And I think that, and I don't say that because I'm running, and I don't say that because I'm trying to like fill my time. I'm saying that because there's been a burning desire for me to do something in this nation that I wasn't able to do because my spouse couldn't believe in me. And the dream that I had in my heart that God gave me was bigger than the reality that we were living. But that's who my God is. Like, he's the God of impossible. And so the person that I have to date is going to have to believe the way I believe and dream the way I dream.
That's true.
Because we're going to be doing things that won't make sense to anybody, but they're going to make sense to him.
Right.
So, like, it's going to be a minute before, like, I catch that body where, you know, it's like, yep, that's it. And I mean, there's a fear, because I'm a little, I mean, I feel like I'm older. Like, I feel like I'm running out of this race where, like, I know women's biological clocks start to get ticking around this year. So I'm not worried, but I'm just like, I made up my mind. There's three options that can happen. The first option is I got married. I did it. Something terrible happened, and I'm single for the rest of my life. And God could do an amazing job through me being single.
Yeah.
The second thing is he can find me a spouse in the future, and me and her are going to wreck the devil every day for the rest of our lives.
Yep.
And then the third option is he can do a miracle in my then wife, and we can rekindle something years down the road. Like, those are all the options that can be there. But I'm letting God write that story.
Yep. Yeah. That's good. Well, yeah, we definitely appreciate you joining us today, Derek.
The conversation was definitely worth it, and I definitely learned a lot from it.
Yes. And we're so happy that you decided to come on our podcast and share your situation and give your awesome advice. So thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate that. Is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say that, you know, there's a revival coming. I'm excited for, you know, our generation. I think our generation is just ready to see God move. No more of this church going Christianity. Like, it's just going to be this public outcry for people to really get wrecked. And I love that I'm here with you guys. I thank you so much. I just want to give honor when honor's due. Like, y'all doing it, y'all kicking it. Like, it's been amazing to do this with you guys. I just keep hoping that God continues to bring you favor, because he continues to bring you good guest speakers that are going to fill the audiences up, and your podcast is just going to take off this year. Like, it just is.
Thank you.
Like,
God's name.
Yes.
I feel that.
God's will.
Yeah, I feel that. So,
well, thank you so much, Derek. We are going to close it there, guys. So thank you so much, and follow us on our chat room. Peace out.
Peace out.
Later.
Bye.